ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय कदाचित् भग्नमान दंष्ट्रो दुर्जन दंद सुखेर अलब्धा निद्राक्षणो व्यतिता हृदयेनानुक्षी यमान विज्ञानोंत कुपे कुपेन दवात पतति. Translation: in the forest of the material world, the conditioned soul is sometimes bitten by envious enemies, which are compared to serpents and other creatures. Through the tricks of the enemy, the conditioned soul falls from his prestigious position. Being anxious, he cannot even sleep properly. He thus becomes more and more unhappy, and he gradually loses his intelligence and consciousness. In that state, he becomes almost perpetually like a blind man who has fallen into a dark well of ignorance. Karahismachit kama madhu lavan vichinvan yadapara dhara para dravanya varunandhano Avarundhano Ragya Swami Bhir Vanihata Patat Yapare Niraye. Translation: the conditioned soul is sometimes attracted to the little happiness derived from sense gratification. Thus he has illicit sex or steals another's property. At such a time he may be arrested by the government or chastised by the woman's husband or protector. Thus, simply for a little material satisfaction, he falls into a hellish condition and is put into jail for rape, kidnapping, theft, and so on and so forth. Purport: material life is such that due to indulgence in illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, and meat eating, the conditioned soul is always in a dangerous condition. Meat eating and intoxication excite the senses more and more, and the conditioned soul falls victim to women. In order to keep women, money is required, and to acquire money, one begs, borrows, or steals. Indeed, he commits abominable acts that cause him to suffer both in this life and in the next. Consequently, illicit sex must be stopped by those who are spiritually inclined, or who are on the path of spiritual realization. Many devotees fall down due to illicit sex. They may steal money and even fall down from the highly honored renounced order. Then for a livelihood, they accept menial services and become beggars. It is therefore said in the Shastras, Yan maitunari grihameri shukam hitucham. Materialism is based on sex, whether illicit or illicit. Sex is full of dangers, even for those who are addicted to household life. Whether one has a license for sex or not, there is great trouble. Bahu dukha bhak. After one indulges in sex, many volumes of miseries ensue. One suffers more and more in material life. A miserly person cannot properly utilize the wealth he has. And similarly, a materialistic person misuses the human form. Instead of using it for spiritual emancipation, he uses the body for sense gratification. Therefore, he is called a miser. So in the material world, the living entity is trying to somehow or another find some happiness. This is very important for the living entity, that they want this happiness. They have to, in some way, get some satisfaction. Because the material nature on its own gives no happiness, no satisfaction. So because of this, then there's always this endeavor to become happy. So we see here that the example is given of stealing and illicit sex. That as one becomes more and more materialistic, so we see here the living entity is in this, is becoming more and more bewildered by the results of disturbances, sinful activities, and just the hellish situation of material life. That what is described here in Srimad Bhagavatam, this is material life. This should be very clear. Not that Bhagavatam has picked out a few rare examples, and that everything is actually very nice, very wonderful, but has actually picked out the mood and the flavor of what is going on in material life, and has taken what is happening and condensed it down to some examples that we can actually relate to, we can understand. But now in doing this, we have to be able to focus and see these situations, how they happen in our life. Then we become observant, then we can become detached from the material nature. This is what is being offered by the Bhagavatam. The Ishopanishad says one should have knowledge of ignorance and knowledge of spirit simultaneously. So here the Bhagavatam is affording us both. And in this chapter then it is telling us about how material life works. Here it is showing the full, like a very textbook manifestation of these situations. But this is what's going on. Maybe in a small way, maybe in a very big way, but it's going on. Maybe just something small here, just someone has, they're in charge of a go-down or where all the brooms are kept, and then someone else makes a little this and that to get in charge, control of that go-down. Somehow or another they feel that being in charge of the broom closet is, you know, the next step for me. And somehow or another we're in charge of the broom closet, so we have to go. Like this. It's very small, but this is what we find goes on daily in our life. Either we are doing or someone is doing to us. In the conditioned state, these are the activities we will do. So we should analyze, see, and then try to remove these. Try to give them up. But we have to be analytical to understand this. See what's happening around us. Yes, this is what's going on. And see, yes, this is also what I am doing. Maybe it's subtle, maybe it's not so direct. I make a comment here, there, in my mind, I'm thinking. But in some way, we are being influenced by these situations. So this is the material world. And we have been here for a long time, and we are looking for this satisfaction. Because of the pain that we get, then we must find some satisfaction somewhere. So then, if one is very disturbed, here we see that the example in the previous verse is of position. So position is part of the subtle sense gratification or subtle sex life, as Srila Prabhupada points out. Distinction, adoration, profit. So when that's removed, we cannot get it through subtle means. Then we see the next step the Bhagavatam shows is then one has to be very careful. If one has a position, one loses that position, one has to be very careful he doesn't now fall prey to illicit sex. Because we're not getting that appreciation that we want, that influence, that power, whatever it may be. So now we look for it in the gross sense, now in illicit activities. Because licit, that takes either time to arrange, or you already have it. And anything legal is not overly exciting. Right? This is the point of regulated life. When you regulate the senses, then suddenly the excitement of the material engagement of the senses with their sense objects is not so exciting. And then the intelligent man takes that leeway or that space given by the mind to now turn the attention on spiritual enjoyment, spiritual satisfaction. And if one does that, then one will be very happy. If not, then again the mind must find that happiness. It's not getting in the spiritual. It'll come back to the material again. And because in regulated life we do not find, then naturally it moves to illicit. Because regulated, you may be busy thinking of this, thinking of that. One comes home, then one's seen the wife has seen the husband a million times. You know, husband walks in and he just thinks of this, that, walks off somewhere. Wife's doing something else, doesn't even really notice, or says, you know, Hari Bol. And like this, the mind is doing something else. So one is thinking of, well, I'm going to do this, or yeah, this person did this to me, or this was happening, or I got to do this. So the mind's in the future and in the past. And so even in the regulated activities, we're not actually experiencing much, because we're not living in the present. So then this means the natural thing, we want to come to the present. The present is what we remember. What happens in the present is what we remember. We think back on, you know, those moments in their life, either good or bad, that really stick out. It'll be observed that the reason that they stick out is because at that time we were in the present. We were not thinking of the future, we were not thinking of the past. We were just noticing what was happening to us at that moment. So one either learns to do that by Krishna consciousness, because Krishna consciousness, when one associates with Krishna, Krishna's devotees, Krishna's name, the Shastras, then Krishna, as we read from the Brahma Samhita, that there is no past or future, there's only present in Golok Vrindavan. Therefore, there is unlimited activity going on there. Because they're never thinking in the future we will, or in the past. It's always the present. Even if they think we will meet Krishna, because they're thinking of Krishna, Krishna's there with them, and at the present they are with Krishna. In the mood of separation. And if they think of Krishna in the past, or we were with Krishna, then one's thinking of Krishna, one is with Krishna at the present. Therefore, there is so much ecstasy either being with Krishna or thinking of Him in the mood of separation. So thinking of the service, thinking of this, then we are at the present. Absorbing ourselves, then we get a taste. Otherwise, then the senses, they get jaded, things that always happen regularly. Then what happens is then one tries to do something that's out of the ordinary. Then you get a buzz out of it. And you go off with, you know, you start talking to somebody else's wife or some other girl or some other man. Then that gives some, one notices, one is alive because it's happening at the present. Because at any moment you can get caught, someone may know. You have to be very conscious of everything. And then you're at the present and you get something from it and you think, yes, this is very nice. But all it was is now we're at the present, but it's still material. And with time, this will also become jaded. And then we'll have to go for more and more wild stuff. Like this. That's why the living entity becomes, if he's material, becomes more and more sinful. Because the sin I did today, tomorrow does not give me the same reaction. Right? We've heard of this before. Drugs work in the same way. Everything works. It's just the way the senses are. What you get from them today, you don't get tomorrow. So you want to get that. So you have to do something more crazy, more weird, more difficult, more expensive, more far away. You know, instead of going, you know, we'll go to Puri, then we got to go to South, then we got to go to, you know, Lower Slobovia, then we have to go to Antarctica. You know, it's like next planet. You know, it's just, otherwise there's no satisfaction. One always has to always do something to create that situation. So therefore the acharyas recommend that the devotee avoid what will happen. Because Krishna says in the Gita that the realized person understands it's just the body is going through the modes of nature. So if you go on, move on the path of the forest of enjoyment, this is the path it will take. Maybe in one lifetime, maybe in many lifetimes. But this is the path. It's set, chalked out for you. From one goes into the next. Right? He says, lose position, then illicit sex, then stealing. It just goes like that. So, like that, that is how it will move, the modes will move that way. Or, we take up seriously Krishna consciousness and try to inject that at every moment. Somehow or another, become aware. Then we have taste. If we look back, you know, when we first got initiated or start some new service or that, we find it very exciting. We think, well, why isn't it like that anymore? Because at the time, we were living in the present. And now we think we're not. We're thinking in the past, it was nice. Or in the future, if I get into this or do this, that, it will be. So we've just left being conscious of what we're doing at the moment. While we're doing our service, we're thinking of something else. While before, we were fully absorbed in what we were doing. So this is just how the mind works. So we can somehow or another try to take up spiritual activities. Then it becomes very, very nice. We get the taste. And then we learn, and because the spiritual taste is ever increasing, therefore one can absorb oneself more and more and deeper in spiritual activities. While otherwise, then we have to engage ourselves more and more in material activities, and we get less and less satisfaction. Since today is also Garadhar Pandit's appearance day, we'll ask for a few questions. Then we'll read some things on Garadhar Pandit to commemorate his appearance day. Is there any questions on this point? Shri Radha Madhavaji ki jai. So Garadhar Pandit's appearance day then is on this Amavasya or new moon in the month of Vaishak. Srila Garadhar Pandit was the constant companion of Mahaprabhu from the time of their childhood. Garadhar Pandit's father's name was Sri Madhava Misra, and his mother's name was Sri Ratnavati Devi. They lived very near the house of Sri Jagannath Misra in Mayapur. Ratnavati Devi thought of Sachi Devi as her own sister and always used to visit her. Sri Gaurahari had so much affection for Sri Garadhar Pandit that he couldn't be without him for a moment. He appeared a year after Lord Chaitanya. Gadai and Nimai were inseparable as childhood playmates. Peaceful, renounced, serious, self-composed, fond of solitude, Garadhar proved quite a contrast to his bosom friend Gaura Rai, who is fickle, unsteady, whimsical. In Gangadas Pandit's toll, Nimai Pandit regularly teased Gadadhar by challenging him with illogical questions. Lord Chaitanya used to like to argue, because in the toll, one learns Sanskrit, but that is just you learn the language. The main thing is you learn the nyaya, or the system of argument. So then the children, once they know this, then they love to harass each other by arguing with each other. Right? Kshatriyas like to fight physically or politically, and Brahmins like to fight through their words. So then Lord Chaitanya, he used to like to strike up arguments that were totally illogical, and he would fight them very, very strongly. So this used to annoy Gadadhar Pandit. So Gadadhar, whenever Lord Chaitanya would start up one of these arguments with the classmates, rather than being drawn in, he would always go over to the side and stay out of the way and wait for the whole thing to go away. Sri Kavi Karnapur states that in Braja Leela, Gadadhar Pandit is the daughter of King Vrishabhanu, Srimati Radharani. Gadadhar Pandit served as Lord Chaitanya's chief assistant during his Navadvip Leela. Sri Sri Radha Krishna in Vrindavan appear as Gaur Gadadhar to perform pastimes in Navadvip in the forest groves beside the Ganga. No one can describe the characteristics and ecstatic love of Gadadhar Pandit. Therefore, another name for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Gadadhar Prananav, the life and soul of Gadadhar Pandit. This is quoted from Chaitanya Charitamrita. One day, while wandering along the bank of the Ganga, Gaurasundar entered a forest grove and sat in a meditative mood. Soon he became enraptured, remembering his Vrindavan pastimes. To enhance the Lord's mood, Mukunda Dutta began singing sweet songs in Purva Rag. Sri Gadadhar made a garland of fragrant forest flowers and lovingly placed it around the Lord's beautiful neck. As Sri Radha used to dress Damodar in Vrindavan, similarly Gadadhar would adorn the radiant form of Lord Gauranga. He would also decorate Lord Chaitanya's bed and bedroom with sweet-smelling flowers. Every day he would make sandalwood paste to rub on Sri Chaitanya's transcendental body. So while this pastime was going on in the forest, Gaur Gadadhar sat at the root of a tree, serving as a raised dais. Lord Nityananda Prabhu sat on Lord Chaitanya's right. Srivas Pandit decorated them all with flowers. Sri Advaitacharya offered aroti. Narahari waved a chamara. Shuklambar offered chandan, and Murari Gupta sang the Lord's glories. Vijay, Mukunda, Purushottam, Madhava, and Vasudev Ghosh sang a variety of songs in different ragas. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his Nadia Leela. After Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, Gadadhar Pandit also accepted the renounced order of life and went to Jagannath Puri to be with Lord Chaitanya. Accepting Kshetra sannyas, a renunciate who never leaves the Dham, he served the deity of Tota Gopinath with full love and devotion. Regularly, Sri Krishna Chaitanya came to relish Sri Gadadhar's rasik reading of Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya concluded his manifest pastimes by entering into the deity of Tota Gopinath. Although Gadadhar Pandit was barely 48 when the Lord departed, he quickly became old because of the intense anguish he felt in separation from his beloved Lord Gauranga. One of the pastimes with Gadadhar Pandit was that Tota Gopinath, because of Gadadhar's affection, was not feeling able to always stand and do the puja. So Tota Gopinath, understanding this, then one day when Gadadhar came, he sat down. And then this was reported to Lord Chaitanya, who was very pleased with Gadadhar Pandit's service. So another, Gadadhar Pandit then established many principles, important principles of devotional service. One of the principles was of not accepting the Vaishnav to be ordinary, and not criticizing them for acting according to their nature, as long as that nature is engaged in the Lord's service. We see that one time Mukunda Datta, he always used to go with Garadhar Pandit to visit any new devotee who came to Navadvipa. So they were always, whenever a new devotee would come, then Mukunda Datta would go call Garadhar Pandit, and they together would go to visit and take darshan of the Vaishnav, the visiting Vaishnav. So one time then Pundarik Vidyanidhi came to visit Navadvipa, and they had heard many, many things about his glories. He's a great devotee. I think he had come from East Bengal. So then they went to visit, and Garadhar had heard so many things and was very eager to meet such a devotee. Because so many, they get to meet devotees, but now they got to meet someone who their glories had already reached Navadvipa before they had come to visit. So then when they got there, they came into the area where Pundarik Vidyanidhi was sitting. And it was like a darbar, or like a court. Like the kings, they hold court. So they're very opulent. And they manifest a lot of their opulence and potency. And that's very natural, because then those who come to the court, then they establish a proper mood, a proper relation. They don't take the person very cheaply. So the kings always act in this way. So then, when they came to see Pundarik Vidyanidhi, then instead of seeing some very humble, renounced person, just in some cloth and sitting in some corner chanting, they came into this big court where there's big seats and canopies and chamaras and incense burning and all kinds of rugs and everything. And Garadhar Pandit saw this and immediately lost all respect for Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He thought, how can someone, a devotee, manifest so much material opulence? Why would they do this? So then Mukunda Datta, he understood that this is the situation, and Garadhar Pandit is thought like this. So then he immediately started to quote some verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi, hearing these, immediately became absorbed in the mood of the Braja pastimes and fell unconscious onto the floor and was rolling around, not caring for anything. All so many nice things were there. He was rolling, breaking them. His clothes were ripping. They were becoming stained, knocking things over. He was completely oblivious. Here he is, first moment in the court, you know, very regal and setting a, you know, very, mood of reverence. And so many people would be there in a reverential mood. And at the next moment, here he is rolling on the floor like a madman. So then Garadhar Pandit then understood that I have made a mistake. I have misjudged this person. So then he understood that here is the person who I can take shelter of. Here is the person who I can take initiation from, and they can shelter me and guide me in my devotional life. So then Mukunda Datta, means Garadhar Pandit, expressed this desire to Mukunda Datta, and Mukunda Datta approached Pundarik Vidyanidhi and asked, "Will you please accept Garadhar Pandit as your disciple?" And he extolled the glories of Garadhar Pandit, such nice qualities that he had. So then Pundarik Vidyanidhi was very impressed and thought, yes, I will immediately accept. Why not? It is only after many, many lifetimes that of service to the Lord or pious activities that one gets a devotee or a disciple like this. Someone who, hearing the philosophy, that is able to apply it in their own life very nicely, and even I can become benefited by their wonderful example and advancement. So on an auspicious day, then Garadhar Pandit accepted initiation from Pundarik Vidyanidhi. So in the Gauranga Deepika, it is also mentioned that Pundarik Vidyanidhi is Rishabhanu Maharaj himself. So then it is very natural for Srimati Radharani to take shelter of Rishabhanu Maharaj. So then in a later instance, yeah. So here we see that mistake was made, and mistake was understood. Because of Gadadhar Pandit's qualification, he could immediately see that this person is advanced. I mistook. I took the external manifestation of their nature to be important, and I didn't actually understood their proper devotional nature. Then not only that, it wasn't that then he just became embarrassed and just stayed out of the way, but then he took up a practical mood of contact with that devotee. So he was shy, naturally, and he arranged to meet Pundarik Vidyanidhi, and he took up serving and associating with Pundarik Vidyanidhi. So like this, we may make mistakes about devotees, we may misunderstand, but when we do understand, means if we are sincere, we can understand. If we're not, we are very confident of our ability to see. Maybe in normal situations we see and somebody acts in this way, then this means something. But as we hear more or we find out more, then we might find, well, actually situation is different. Mentality is different. My experience is limited. I've seen this situation before. I saw like this. But now the situation is here again, but it's different. So therefore, we have to change our opinion. And if we're not willing to change the opinion, then this will be an obstacle on our devotional path. So we change that opinion, so now we understand this person is a very nice devotee, then we should try to get some association, take association, somehow or another relate, interact with the devotees. Then in this way, then we expand our the happiness and pleasure of associating with devotees. So this is a very important point, something very practical for our life. Then later, another point came, is that Pundarik Vidyanidhi, after some time, went back to Bangladesh. Well, at that time it was East Bengal. And then Gadadhar was feeling that separation. And because he was not always in contact with his spiritual master, then he felt that enthusiasm that he had was not as strong. His mind was starting to drift and he wasn't getting the same taste and enthusiasm that he had before when he was in the association of his spiritual master. So then he started to think, well, maybe it's because now the mantra that the spiritual master has given me is losing potency. Means when the spiritual master is present, then the mantra has that potency. And when he goes, then it loses the potency. So then he started to think, well, I should seek now shelter of another devotee and they will give me now mantra. I'm not sure who he approached. Mukunda Datta again? Or? Also approached Mukunda Datta, because Mukunda Datta brought him in contact with his spiritual master and put before him this problem. I think Mukunda Datta didn't know quite what to say, so it was brought to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya then came and explained that the relationship with the spiritual master is eternal. It's not separated by space. It means the Vapu we may appreciate for sometimes when they are present. Now and again we get that glorious opportunity to render some service, some close service, either hearing or some personal service. But more important is the Vani. The Vani is always with us. And that potency of that Vani, as we follow it, increases more and more. So you don't have to worry. The mantra is non-different from the Lord. It is given to us by the pure devotee. And the pure devotee can give us the Lord. So we have the Lord. So we just have to be very, very serious and take advantage of the instruction and gain that inspiration from other devotees on how they are serving the instructions of their spiritual master. In this way, push on in our spiritual life and maintain our enthusiasm. So this was another very important instruction that was being given to us through the pastimes of the Lord. And we have to understand that it is only through such very qualified devotees that the Lord can bring out these points. Right? We see through Garadhar, through Arjuna, through so many others. It's only the most qualified he brings out these essential points that we apply in our life. Points that you want to absolutely avoid, that are kept outside the sphere of devotional activities, than he does with so many other people. Krishna's with Shishupal and Dantavakra and Kamsa and, you know, all these other persons. How not to act. With those things and how a devotee themselves personally act, then only such qualified devotees as Garadhar Pandit, then he performs these activities. Why? Because they are the most qualified. Because they are not possessed of any ego. So if they are wrong, they accept it. And they are immediately willing to do what is proper. They don't have a long list of excuses on why, okay, first of all, then there's the obstacle of convincing somebody that they're wrong. Then, if you get over that obstacle, then the next obstacle is, I'm wrong, but I'm wrong because of everybody else. Because of the situation, and this one did that, and that one did this, therefore I had to do like this. It's wrong, but I had to do. What could I do? I was forced by everybody else. Then you get over that obstacle, then you can start talking about devotional service. So the Lord doesn't waste His time with these examples with just any devotee, but only the most qualified, because they can be shown that they're wrong and immediately accept that they're wrong and immediately apply the detail that is given by the Lord, by the devotees in their life. So in this way, they set the perfect example on how we should execute devotional service. So we can understand that this is why Garadhar Pandit was always such an intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya in his Navadvipa Lila. Otherwise, anything else to add or any corrections? Something Janani Vas said? Sarup Damodar? Okay, so we'll stop here then. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Garadhar Pandit Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanam.